You're on Island Life on Waiheke Radio. This is a post-election special looking at the results of the 2013 local board election. And I'm joined on the phone by one of the unsuccessful candidates, Richard Melville. Hello, Richard.
Hi, Chris.
I really appreciate you talking to us this morning, Richard. So you ended up polling quite respectfully. It was around, 930-odd votes you got?
Yeah, I thought we did pretty well, really.
So one of the things with your campaign was that, in comparison to others, it was a very, very low-key campaign.
Yeah, it was.
And, I mean, in the end, that that impacted on the results. I mean, were you pleased with how many votes you ended up getting?
Hang on, Chris, you're just fading away a bit there.
All right, so, I mean, a number of people remarked after our candidates' meeting that they were very impressed with your performance at that meeting. And, I mean, do you look back now and think, if we'd campaigned a little more, got out there a bit more, that you might have crossed the line?
Yeah, possibly. It's really hard to say. I think we did the type of campaign that I ran, I probably got as many votes as I thought I was going to get. maybe could have been a little bit more out there, but it's not me, really.
And when you look at the outcome, I mean, one of the things that you said at the candidates' meeting that you were critical of the fact that some candidates hadn't fronted up to that meeting. And, so when you look at the outcomes now, what do you think of the result?
As I say, just really faint there, Chris.
Yeah, so tell us your impression of the results of the election. What do you think of the outcome?
I think what it ended up is one team perhaps versus the other. Two pretty different viewpoints, and it sort of like turned out that I think most what the result tells us is that maybe even it was time for a change, time for perhaps a different style.
And so do you think you'll be dipping your toe into the political waters again?
Would I?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I loved it. I particularly enjoyed the artwork session. I thought that was really great. And maybe if there'd been one or two more of those, it may have been different. But, and this opportunity as well. So, but maybe next time we'd do things maybe a little bit differently.
Well, look, we really appreciate you. Two things, really. We really appreciate you putting yourself forward to represent the Islanders, and appreciate you talking to us today.
No, pleasure, absolutely.
Okay, you have a good day, Richard.
Okay.
That was Richard Melville there, one of the unsuccessful candidates for Waiheke Local Board, polling in the 900s. All right, so we're going to have a look now. As I said before, this was one of the first kind of social media elections, really. And so I've got here Brent Simpson, the Waiheke Radio's social media guru.
No, don't use that word. It's awful.
but this, in 2010, when we first covered the first local board election, and, we had to incorporate kind of comments and questions and so forth on our website because there just wasn't anywhere else, was there?
No, there wasn't really. I mean, there was Facebook around, of course, and but it was, I can't remember any comments. There was none of the established group. In fact, I seem to remember that Waiheke was not on Facebook in 2010. There wasn't a single page around Waiheke, so there wasn't the community notice board, there definitely wasn't WHIP, there was nothing, and all the conversation took place pretty much on the radio website. The radio website, was the place to go for sort of online discussion around candidates in that election. This year, the radio website, it was negligible for comments, you know, very few comments, even though there was the facility to do it, probably like only some 9 comments. And it all shifted towards towards Facebook. You know, there was the Waikiki Island People's Parliament, which has nearing in on 500 members on that group. There's also, although the notice board doesn't engage in political discussion, but that has over 2,200 members. And so when you, Sherman Brown had it, ran a page with 324, Joe Holmes, Sherman had a group actually, Joe Holmes had a page. So there was a considerable amount of conversation took place online. And I think one of the things to remember too is people say, oh, you know, there's only 400 people on this page, but that's not a very good representation of the community. But one of the aspects you sort of have to take into account, I think, on these pages is what a statistic that if you're an admin pages on Facebook, you have a statistic called reach. And reach is a number that represents the kind of potential audience for posts, and that kind of takes into account friends of people who are liking a particular page or engaging. And those numbers can get fairly high fairly quick. And so a page that has, you know, 496 people actually potentially has a reach of around 100,000. And that's not to say that 100,000 people are, you know, are seeing posts on that page, but it's kind of an indication of that these pages amplify messages far greater than the actual number of people.
Yeah, because when people talk about them, don't they? You know, it's like, oh, you won't believe what that idiot said now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it was just quite amazing this year. I mean, it's sort of, yeah, it's definitely changed the landscape. I mean, there was, you know, people saying that it wasn't, you know, it's they're bubbles and it's not this and that. But it definitely, I think, had an impact. And it's quite noticeable who engaged and who didn't, and how they engaged, whether they were sophisticated users of it or not. So I think it was, and it's you know, it's quite telling that the people who engaged using social media, using the internet. I mean, there's also the one Waiheke .org site had some great writings on it, and the people who engaged in these platforms, you know, they came out on top this time. And it's not the only reason they came out on top, but you know, they did what I think voters expected of them to. They answered questions and they, you know, they got stuck in.
Most of the candidates also have websites. I mean, it's kind of, you kind of got to do that now, I suppose. But I mean, do you think they have much of an impact? And if you had a look at the various websites and
Yep, I have had a look at the A-Team websites, and there was the essentially Waiheke had a website sort of that, you know, accommodated all of them. I think Jo Holmes probably, you know, had the best sort of go at it. She had a blog on her site, and she would accept comments, although she wouldn't respond to many that she only really sort of. They were moderated comments, so she had to approve them and put them up, and she didn't really, she only did that if she kind of liked the comment. But, you know, she had a blog, and she ran, she had quite a few posts on that blog, which then got distributed out through social media. Don and Faye didn't have any kind of blogging functionality on theirs. And I think the essentially Waiheke team took to social media, you know, very well. All of them engaged, you know, fairly substantially on social media, on their own pages and on other community pages. And I think, you know, that seems to be a theme that we've got coming. I mean, just even talking there on the phone with John. With Richard, you know.
Now, he has no online presence.
He had no online presence.
I mean, he kind of shows that you can do this stuff without it, really. I mean, his vote was respectful.
It was respectful, yeah. And and I think, you know, like he's, I mean, I think they really, I think, well, there's been some, I think the radio, you know, there was a criticism levied earlier on the week against the radio as, I won't sort of mention who, well, actually Graham Hooper said that, you know, radio was, he sort of irrelevant for this day and that social media had taken over. But I think what we're seeing is that, you know, the radio is not just about what, you know, what goes out over the terrestrial, you know, airwaves. That we create content which then gets distributed online. And we gave people the opportunity, and most of them did. I mean, even Faye and Joe came in for their radio interviews and their two-minute statements, and those things immediately go out online, and people then have conversations about them. We had some pretty – I mean, I looked at the statistics for our candidate interviews and our extended candidate statements and our extended interviews, and those pages were visited the 1,200 plus times on – over the course of they were up, so there's sort of about, I guess, 6 weeks, 8 weeks that they were up. And also a considerable amount of repeat visits, so people came back to check and listen to the updated things, and then those things got distributed online and caused, you know, debate and conversation. And so I think that it's mistaken to think of radio as just something that happens on this little thing that you twiddle in your living room. You know, it's an online platform. It's a that you know, can have a you know, an influence over the outcome of these things. So yeah, it was, and it's been a fascinating little environment lately. I mean, it's quite, it's just in typical Waiheke fashion. You know, it's heated and it has its you know, issues of openness and transparency came as groups became secret or closed and moderated as versus unmoderated, and you know, lots of issues surrounding sort of how we participate in this kind of public sphere and how democracy is going to work in the years ahead. We're sort of you know, we're engaged directly on the platforms. So yeah, it's quite a definitely changed the landscape for future elections, that's for sure.
And there is a risk, though, isn't there, that people start to think, well, Facebook is the world.
Yeah.
You know, and in the end, the number of people who are engaging in that debate, expressing strong opinions, is quite limited.
Yeah.
And people can get wound up and go, well, this is the mood of the island or whatever, but actually it's not.
Yeah, no, I mean, it would be wrong to think that all of Waiheke is on Facebook. And I think that one of the limitations of Facebook as well is, you know, the sort of, you know, the form only really favors kind of quite quick and emotive responses a lot of the time. And it doesn't give much of an opportunity to sort of for lengthier discussions of issues. And that's where I think the onewaiheke.org site, which actually played probably a little bit of a bigger part in the last election, but this time around had about 12 posts that were around the election, and some fine writing, actually, I thought, went on One Waiheke this year from both sides. Had, you know, participated on that platform. That's a blogging platform, so people get, you know, lengthier, and has comments on it as well. And I think that's been a real, you've seen that as a valuable sort of almost a sort of a citizen journalism type of a platform emerge over the last years. It was there in the last election and had some good writing, and this time around I think also had some fine writing. And yeah, and it kind of gets away from the sort of, I suppose, the lower level discussions, I suppose, that take place on Facebook. So an interesting platform. I hope that keeps going for the future. Yeah. So we'll see what it's going to be like next time.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. I mean, so we're talking 3 years, and it's now we've got Waiheke on Facebook in a considerable way, and who knows what it will look like in the years to come. It'll be interesting to see how the candidates you know, use these platforms going forward. You know, whether they're, I mean, the Waiheke Local Board Facebook page, which I think is probably set up by Auckland City, you know, it has like 124 likes. There's nothing.
But it doesn't accept comments, does it?
No, it has some sort of.
It's going to be very interesting to see whether the new local board do engage in it, because they keep on talking about, well, we need to look at new ways of consulting and so on. So it's going to be really interesting to see how they go about doing that.
Well, I think that's exactly one of the things, is how are we going to use these platforms to get, you know, a kind of an e-governance type platforms. How can we use these things to elicit opinions from the community, and and whether Facebook's good for that or not, I don't know. It might be worthwhile you know, exploring the landscape. But there has been some talk about it during the Super City. There was a couple of people on the island who talk about e-governance initiatives, and So yeah, I think that's really somewhere to explore, because it does seem like a board at the moment that is open to soliciting response, you know, in the form of sort of the referendums, polls, and getting feedback directly from the community using the technology, you know, not just relying on people to show up at meetings and that. So it will be interesting to see how these platforms get used in the future, and whether we can sort of whether Waiheke can actually be a bit of an example for other. I mean, I think we are definitely, you know, an example on using community media. We far outshine anyone else that I've seen, any other community. And so, yeah, I think it would be an interesting space for the board to explore going ahead, is how we can use new technology to engage people.
Yeah. All right, that's Brent Simpson there from Waiheke Radio discussing social media in the 2013 election. You're listening to the Island Life post-election special, and we'll play a tune now, and then we'll be back, and we'll have a little bit of a kind of a look forward over the next 3 years with our opinionated Islanders.
Pale, 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 politician, can you make a right decision for all of us, for all of us? Pale, 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 politician, can you make a right decision for all of us, yeah? Politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? Yeah, for all of us. You can talk the talk, but will you walk the walk? Will you bring us comfort? Will you bring us comfort? You can talk the talk, but will you walk the walk, or will you bring us comfort? Or will you bring us comfort? Pale, 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 politician, can you make a right decision for all of us, for all of us? Pale, 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 politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? Yeah, for all of us. You can talk the talk, but will you walk the walk? Will you bring us comfort? Will you bring us comfort? You can talk the talk, but will you walk the walk? Or will you bring us comfort? Or will you bring us comfort? Oh, I, pale, 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 politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? For all of us. Pale, 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 politician, can you make a right decision for all of us? Yeah, for all of us. Pale, 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 politician, can you make a right decision? Oh, I, oh, I. Talk the talk, but will you walk the walk? Or will you bring us comfort? Or will you bring us comfort? You can talk the talk, but will you walk the walk? Or will you bring us comfort? Or will you bring us comfort? Oh, I, pale, 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 politician.
politician? Can you make a right decision?
Okay, we're back on air on our Island Life special on Waiheke Radio, looking at the 2013 local board election results. I'm joined by opinionated Islanders Alan Knight, Alex Stone and Mark James. So we've had a bit of a talk about the election results, and let's just actually just recap, in case you've just tuned in, what those results were. So I'll just quickly run through these. So, of course, Len Brown and Mike Lee returned in mayor and council position for the Waitemata Gulf Islands, the Mike Lee. For the local board, a trouncing, really. And we have essentially Waiheke and Sharon Brown, a clean sweep. Paul Wald, this is in order of number of votes. Paul Walden, 2,225. Beetle Treadwell, 2,177. Sharon Brown, 1,849. Bex Bella, 1,750. John Newsom, 1,626. And there was quite a drop-off of a couple of hundred, a few hundred actually, back to the next highest polling candidate, Sue McCann. And then she was followed by Don McKenzie, Faye Storer, Joe Holmes, Ross Gillespie and Graham Hooper. So that's a bit of a recap. Sorry?
You left out Richard Melville.
Oh, yeah, Richard Melville was actually, yeah. So he was in there. he was behind Joe and ahead of Ross. All right. So we've talked about the results. We've talked about, you know, the how we got to this point of that outcome. But let's look forward.
The next three years.
What happens now?
Well, I think one of the things that we've seen since the by-election, because there was maybe a little bit of resentment that Denise Roche maybe anointed Paul Walden a little bit too obviously. Some people felt, you know, maybe it should have been Andy Spence that got the nod to contest the by-election. But in the event, it was Paul Walden. And maybe a lot of people felt that he didn't have the grasp of the council detail. And this is something that he has proved he really does. I've been absolutely amazed, because I've had people say to me, "You ever thought of running for politics?" And I've said, "Well, okay. I just couldn't work through all that stuff that the council, the way all the legalese and the council speak that they use. It's very complex and very dense, and it's not something that everyone can grasp." And I think one thing that Paul Walden's shown is that he really gets it. And so with him in that most approved position, the rest have to follow his lead and his grasp of the issues, and I think they should be fine.
It's a big part of the work. When you were interviewing all the new candidates earlier, they were saying, a couple of them were saying, "Whoa, I'm going to have to do a bit of homework and get up to speed with that bureaucratic procedural side of it." But I think what they need to get up to speed with is there are a number of projects that are in train. And, you know, when they're talking about looking at budgets for the future, there's some very worthy projects that should continue to be pursued, like the Waiheke Walkways project around the bottom, you know, linking up all the walkways around the bottom end. You know, a lot of work has been done on that, and I think it would be a very good thing for this board to see that through. Yeah.
Mm. There is one danger, though, and that is if you say that, well, the others just have to follow Paul Walden's lead, isn't that a little bit what we've seen over the last 3 years?
Well, I think John's sharp enough. He'll be able to.
I have no real concerns that that's actually going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, but it would be a shame for anyone who feels that there have been some very new arrivals on the board, and, you know, maybe these people don't have the experience. And then again, who really does have the experience of being on a board until they've been on one?
Yeah, the
thing is, I think that resounding win for Paul Walden shows that he's proved himself over the last couple of years. He got in, and immediately he's won a lot of trust. Mm-hmm. And the feeling that he's a safe pair of hands.
Yeah. Part of the failures of my prediction is that I thought he would not pull the highest among the essentially Waiheke candidates, because he has this baggage of kind of a combative attitude against the golf course and things like that.
And he's doubled his vote. He went from 1147 to 2-2.
Not only that, but you know, he's been sort of not only the perceived but the actual champion of the essentially Waiheke team.
Yeah.
And in his year on the board, you have to give him credit for, you know, for all of the sort of pugnacious reputation that he had prior to getting onto the board. he has behaved in a rather statesmanlike manner. And I think that comforted a lot of people who might otherwise have hesitated to vote for him.
Well, when we did the candidate interviews, I asked Paul about, you know, about that kind of nature, I suppose, and how he'd gone through the board, and, you know, there'd been, I suppose, this perception, you know, and part of it true, actually, that he was quite combative. And what he said was that he had gone in like that, and he'd reflected on that, and he'd changed his way of operating over that 18 months. And, you know, and I think that's probably a fair call, that he has kind of toned it down. He's found new ways of working.
Yeah, I've found him out.
If he can become a statesman, you know, all power to him.
Yeah, well, he was certainly his speech at the celebration last night was very impressive.
Yeah, I also like to judge people from what they actually do. You know, Paul has put in untold hours with the Sea Scouts. You know, just a fantastic grassroots community thing. He just goes and does the work. You know, that's good stuff.
Now, another thing I think we've got to look forward to over the next 3 years is that, in calling themselves the Essentially Waiheke team, they've made that strong association with that very important document.
Yeah.
So we've actually got a team of people, because I think there was some feeling that, you know, is party politics really what we want on the island? And I thought it was quite funny that the A team were saying, oh, it's the other side playing party politics. We're just, you know, there's just a group of us and it's just a slogan and we're not playing party politics, calling ourselves the A-Team, which didn't really ring true. But the use of the expression is Essentially Waiheke and the association with that document, we've actually got a board that we can hold to a certain set of principles, whereas the previous board, we really didn't know quite what we were getting. It's like, nice, oh, well, we're in power, we're now going to, well, we'll make things up as we go along. It all just seemed a little bit vague.
Yeah, nice to have a template. Well, the
A template, that's the word. And this is and this is, I think, why we have a board that we will see to be more accountable, because there is that template for us to be able to go, hey, guys, we're your conscience here, that Jiminy Cricket thing.
Yeah, what I like about the template also, I think they didn't talk about it much when you were talking to the new board earlier, because it's almost taken as read, that they have a real deep appreciation of the value of the environment. You know, they are the people forward thinking about the environment, which I think will be a good thing for the future generations of Waiheke, yeah.
And it's also, as far as that that confrontational aspect of Paul Walden's perceived persona amongst people, is it necessarily such a bad thing? One of the things I think, again, that we should probably pay tribute to him here, and I know we're being a little bit gushing about Paul Walden, but really all power to him. I was there that morning. He was up to his chest in icy water at Faratana Bay, and he certainly won my vote that morning, because that's community advocacy. Some people were going, oh, it's disgraceful to see a member of the local board at a protest in that way. And I'm thinking, being arrested. No, good on him. I think he stood up for what a majority of people on Waiheke felt that morning.
Yeah.
It was very good.
But it is a different skill set that needed, isn't it, to achieve something for the island through the processes of council. You know, is quite a different thing from standing in icy water.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. But this is what I'm saying. I feel he can do both very, very effectively. And the thing for those of us who value this place, those of us who've either been born here or, like myself, have drifted in from elsewhere, you do get the very strong feeling as you fit into this community that this place requires constant vigilance. There's always going to be a great big queue of people queuing up to run their funny little schemes and mess stuff up and leave us to clear up the mess once they've made a quick buck out of it. And this is something we've just got to constantly be aware of. It's the price that you pay for living here.
And it's the price of democracy in general.
Well, yes.
Constant
vigilance. But this island, this defined community, does require constant vigilance, because we will never see an end to scam artists and get-rich-quick people and all these assorted spivs who've drifted through over the years I've been here with, oh, you know, let's have a shopping centre here and let's do this, let's do that. And you've just got to look at it and go, no, wait a minute, sorry, doesn't fit with the mood of the people that live here.
What I'm
and
thinking,
it's our voice that counts.
What I'm thinking, this new board will be focused on the value of the environment, and it was not as much on previously the focus was on process, you know, like when Paul was in his up in the icy water, the other guys were saying we've got to trust the process, and the process wasn't actually saving the environment at that stage. Yeah.
Yeah, well, when we see where the process came from, which is essentially Mr. Hyde and not to say Mr. Jekyll, but Mr. Hyde in government, to base your attitude or your approach to governance on that is poisonous. It really is. Mm. It's you have to get in there with your, you know, with your fists up and fight for what you believe in. Yeah. And if the process is against that, you work to change the process.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen much of that.
Yeah, but that's what we will see, I think, looking forward. What we'll see from this board is people standing up for this community and for the environment.
Now, you talked, Alex, about some of the things underway, like the Walkways Project. Now, there's a number of other significant things underway which this board is going to have to work its way through.
Sure.
The vexed question of the Marine Reserve, and we won't get into all of that now, but you know, that's going to be a very, very difficult stuff, thing to navigate. You know, that has, I mean, already, you know, that kind of division we've seen over issues like the Esplanade and the marina has arisen around the Marine Reserve. And there is the marina as well. Now, that's something where, you know, a board and, you know, believe a number of the people on the, you know, the elected candidates have spoken against the marina, but well, they could end up having to navigate through the process of it being built.
The new board's in a tricky position because what they inherited is the marina having got to the stage of the Environment Court and the previous board having not advocated. So they've inherited an awkward position, I think, and maybe inherited a position that might be a losing one, dare I say it. You know,
but it's a difficult one. Are we perhaps overlooking the fact that the Environment Court are going to be quite annoyed that this great mass of submissions, which should, under due process, have gone through council approval first, has now been dumped on their doormat, which normally they would have expected the council to have digested that a little bit and then delivered it up to the Environment Court in a rather more user-friendly state. So was it necessarily the best thing for the marina proposal to be booted straight to the Environment Court, or are they going to be a little bit...
Just on that
annoyed about it.
We should note that Nolan Raffles, who was the chair of the council committee, that it was her vote in the end that saw it go straight to the Environment Court, well, she lost her seat.
Good. And just a word for you, Nolan. If you ever do come to Waiheke, watch out for spit in your coffee in the cafes here. you didn't win any friends on the rock.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, so they've got quite a few big things for them to look at. You know, another one that's been a long-term project bubbling away is the swimming pool one. Did Bex mention that?
Well, she's kind of, what's the name? She's kind of run that flag up her mast whatever, you know. That's what she's saying. She wants
to
achieve.
It's not a project I can get excited about, but I can see that a lot of people do.
There are a lot of logistical issues with that. I know, having investigated it from the high school board's perspective, it's a very, very expensive thing to run a community pool, and trying to you've got to drain them every so often, you've got to find the water and let go of that water in regular intervals. They cost nearly $1 million a year to run a big swimming pool. It's quite a financial liability. It's a big one.
Yeah, and with the shift in the council seats, the likelihood of Waiheke getting large lumps of cash for things like swimming pools is probably looking fairly unlikely.
Well, that's the thing that I think Beetle pointed out there. You know, they've got to look at the budgets and the plans in place and try and figure out which ones are worthy to keep going with and which ones are not so. And there are any number of very worthy and very valid causes on this island. You know, the gallery struggling, the community theatre needs help. You know, the building is pretty rotten, really. Those are just two examples. There'd be any number of examples of well-meaning community organisations that need a lot of funding going forward. Yeah.
Well, somebody made the important point recently that this, when we keep having to raise money to fight off inappropriate developments. I mean, the Matiatia initiative to raise money to hire the correct kind of legal representation for the Environment Court, somebody made the point that why do we keep having to raise all this money that should have gone to something more useful, just to keep fighting off these niggling idiots that keep wanting to do these little projects of their own? Sooner or later, we've got to find a way of drawing that line in the sand a little further out so that we don't keep having to waste money fighting these things, and then there would be more funding for local projects. If we as a community are able to mount initiatives where we raise funding for things like this, then wouldn't it be nicer if we could...
Interesting point, you know, a relationship between advocacy and funding.
Yes.
So you wouldn't have thought that there was one, but I think you've just pointed out
that there certainly is.
It's unfortunate, but... this is something we maybe have to look at. There's got to be a way of... pushing our defences against this kind of thing out a little further than they are right now.
Yeah, good point. No, this board will have to look at funding for research for the Marine Reserve, which has to be done, and it's going to cost.
Well, we've got to have an interesting 3 years
ahead of us.
Oh, no, it's going to be great.
We're all completely stunned, aren't we?
Yeah, it is an astounding outcome. Very, very surprising. And I want to thank the three of you for coming
you.
In today. Yeah. Alan Knight, Alex Stone, and Mark James. And we want to thank our other guests this morning. We've got a few thank yous to run through. So you've been listening to the Island Life post-election special. I want to thank the people who have been here this morning, the newly elected board members, Paul Walden, Beetle Troop Whale, Sharon Brown, Bex Ballard, and John Mewson. And also thank you to Richard Melville for joining us on the phone, and to Denise Roche, who also joined us on the phone, Brent Simpson as well. We did invite a number of people onto the show who declined to come on. Fairly justifiable to kind of, for the unelected candidates to go, oh, actually, I don't want to do that, and that's fine. So, but we did invite all of the candidates to participate in today's show, and we also invited Ken Edwards, one of the supporters of the A-Team and one of the people who's been kind of speaking in their favour, to join our panel, and he declined that as well.
I think that's a great shame, because it would have been a nice chance for us to show that we're not quite the biased thing that he seems to think we are.
Well, it would have been interesting just to get his point
of view. Well,
it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it would have been good to have him here, but, you know, that's his right not to come, and we respect that. And also want to just say thank you to all of the candidates, actually, for putting themselves forward. It's a really important job. It's not something that everyone can do. And, put yourself forward for that, and to put yourself up and for questioning and so on is a big challenge, and thank you to all of them for doing that. We particularly want to thank those who participated in our coverage here on Waiheke Radio. I think in the end, all candidates other than Graham Hooper participated in some way. We recorded 2-minute statements from 10 of the candidates. That was all of them other than Graham Hooper and Richard Melville. Interviews with all but those two. And then we had 8 candidates turn up at our candidates' meeting, so we want to thank them for that. And that basically brings the 2013 election to an end here on Waiheke Radio.
It's been fun.
And 3 more years of Waiheke issues ahead of us.
Yes. And we look forward to holding those board members to account.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, thank you.